And it was so fun because they came in the morning and I had all their desks moved all the way around the classroom and had the plastic tablecloths covering them. So each desk was a tent. And we made little s'more packets. That was their little treat. And they read all day under their desk with their flashlights. And it was called Camp Read a Lot. When you hear them say, oh, this is so much fun. Or when they graduate from high school and say, Miss Thorpe, I loved your class. Those are the benefits.
Welcome to the BJU Press Teacher Edition podcast, where Christian educators are encouraged and inspired as we bring you interviews, practical ideas, strategies, and answer your questions about teaching in today's culture. And here's your host, Jenny Copeland.
It's time for another episode, and today we are talking fun. Yes, you heard me right, fun. And yes, this is a podcast for educators. Those two go together. I'm not just talking about recess fun or Spirit Week fun. We are talking about learning that is fun, but also having fun as a teacher. It is so important that you love what you do. Maybe you find yourself stuck or discouraged today. Maybe you wish you could figure out how to do something different in your classroom and mix things up, but maybe you just don't know what to do. Maybe you are struggling with joy in your calling as a Christian school teacher. Those are all real life scenarios and ones we have found ourselves all in at one time or another. It's the next step, though, that's so important. And I'm glad that today, right now, you are choosing to tune into the Teacher Edition podcast. Our heart is that everyone leaves with a blessing and something practical. So let's get to it. As we get started today, just a quick reminder to take a minute to subscribe to the podcast. If you have friends who aren't listening in, please share this podcast with them. Don't forget to follow us on social media. We are Teacher Edition Podcast on Facebook. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Teacher Edition Pod. Once again, that is Teacher Edition Pod. And lastly, we are really enjoying taking your questions. So take a minute right now and think of something you would like to ask. Then hop onto our website, teachereditionpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to our emails. You can also submit your questions and your stories, of course. The possibilities for questions are endless. So no matter what grade or what subject you're associated with, send those in. And we look forward to sharing them on the show. I want to park there just for a second. I know as an educator, I've had so many times over the years where I wish I could just ask another educator a question. One that maybe even sounded dumb, but I needed to know the answer to. But I just wondered, how does someone else do it? How does someone else handle it? How do they do it differently? There were times I would have loved to send an email to every educator I could think of and just ask for an idea to help me solve something or get headed in the right direction. I want you to see the Teacher Edition podcast that way. Think of something you might ask at a teacher's convention or if you visited another school. By the way, I love visiting other schools and seeing the amazing ideas and things that they are doing. So what might you ask if you were at a different school? Now take a minute, and literally that's all it takes. Go to our website, click to record your question, and just do it. It's fast and painless. You know, if you go back to grading or decorating or vacuuming or whatever else you need to do, you won't get back to it. So pause this episode right now, go record your question, and don't forget to come back to the episode, though. I am looking forward to what you will submit. Okay, let's unpack today's topic. No one wants a teacher that doesn't like their job. Unfortunately, I think most of us have encountered one of those types of people at some point in our lives. I know I certainly have. I remember as a young student sensing that from some teachers and being frustrated because we were excited to learn and be together as a class, but the teacher herself was the one who seemed the least excited in our class. And as an older student, I remember feeling sorry for those teachers. Sorry that they were making learning difficult, of course, but more sorry that they were just obviously not happy in what they were doing. Maybe even they seemed miserable to us. On the contrast, I remember teachers over the years who obviously loved us as students. They loved teaching. They loved doing school. Can you think of some of those? Stop for a second. Can you think of some of those? Well, you know, one such teacher who I have had the privilege of observing that very spirit in is Leanne Thorpe. And Leanne is actually joining us for this episode today. Leanne, I am so excited that you are here, and I cannot wait to pick your brain on this topic.
Thank you so much, Jenny. I'm so excited that I get to be here today. and give you some of my ideas.
That's so exciting. So Leanne is in her 18th year of teaching at Wilmington Christian Academy in Wilmington, North Carolina. She has a degree in education, and she also taught at a couple other schools as well previous to her time at Wilmington Christian. She loves walking on the beach and even collecting shark's teeth. I think that's really fun. And she loves creating fun things on her computer for her classroom. I can sense some creativity there. She has three grown boys and a daughter-in-law. And interestingly enough, her boys actually really propelled her to find ways and ideas to make learning fun. And I think that is so great. So Leanne, let's start there with ideas. That no doubt is one of the hardest parts of doing fun and creative things in your classroom. Some of us can think for hours and not even have a flash of an idea. So where do we start? Like, where do you get your ideas?
Well, a lot of my ideas I get off the internet. I used to get a lot from Pinterest because I would go through Pinterest, like if I needed something to help me teach addition or regrouping, I would go to Pinterest and type that in and try to find it. And you get lots of good ideas there, and I pretty much would just copy them. But I've noticed lately on Instagram, they have teachers of Instagram. I don't know if you've heard of that, but there are so many teachers out there who put all their really cool ideas on there, and they have their teacher pay teacher stores attached to them. And you could just click on them and get ideas. One that I really like, it's called Life W, Little Learners. And she's actually a Christian school teacher in North Carolina. I've never met her. She's super young. But, you know, she has all these crazy ideas that I use a lot of her ideas in my class because I thought, oh, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. And, you know, I really respect her because she is a Christian, and I've seen her get some backlash because of that. And there's some that I have to stop following because I don't care for their views. But you still can get lots of good ideas there. We have a great team here at WCA. Our second grade team is amazing. And we will bounce ideas off our heads, like, how are we going to do this activity? Or how can we make this activity fun? And we talk about it a lot. And the more you talk about it, you're like, oh, we can do this. And we have our group text going. We can do this. We can do that. We ask a lot of people. And a lot of stuff that I've been doing this year, I actually got at this year's teachers convention from Katie Clip. Her ideas that I've tried in my classroom, and they're just amazing. So a lot of things I don't really think on my own. It's like I see what other people are doing, and then I just kind of adapt it to meet the needs for my classroom. Now, I can be in the dollar store and see, like, oh, look at those cute erasers. How can I use those? So if I think it's cute, I buy it. And then I try to figure out later what I can actually do with it. But that's pretty much my idea. And like my kids today, I asked them today, I said, I'm doing a podcast today and we're going to talk about making learning fun. And I said, why do you think learning should be fun? And they kept telling me ways of how to make it fun. I'm like, no, I don't want to know how. I want to know why. And they finally came up with, well, just so we can remember it for the rest of our lives.
Brilliant.
So I thought, okay, well, that was good. But they were giving me ideas like, okay, just make a game out of this or make a game out of that, which we do a lot of. So I think that's where they were getting it from. But that's pretty much where I get my ideas. Just, I don't really think of them myself. It's kind of like it's a collaboration and whatever I see around me.
Teachers are great borrowers, aren't we?
Like, yes. Oh,
we
yes.
We can borrow. We can look at something and expand on it. We're really good at that. That's the educator blood in us. So you talked about where you got some ideas. Why don't you share with us some of the ideas of what you use in your classroom to get beyond the page, to get beyond the worksheet, and really make learning fun and engaging?
Well, I've got a list of things here. I'll just read a few of these, like, just this year, my classroom theme is to infinity and beyond and way out in outer space. So I have everything all spacey. So I have lights all around my room, the little twinkle lights. And then I have them across the front of my room on my board where my big smart board is. And on rainy days, when it's raining, I have the lights off. I have very soothing music playing on the smart board. And I have the little tiny twinkle lights that you just turn on the little tea lights. And so when they come in, I hand them a tea light and it's like, you know, go find a book. We're going to read with a buddy. So it's nice and quiet. And it, because rainy days could be, oh, so they at least come in the morning and nice and quiet, ready to learn. And it's fun because it's kind of like having a flashlight Friday, only this is a rainy day, twinkle light, quiet. So we do that. And that makes it fun. It makes them excited to come into school to have something a little different. We do in second grade here have a lot of dress up days that go with our learning. And that's something that's easy to do because you just stick it out on your homework sheet or your newsletter and say, hey, on this day, we're all going to dress up like this. And most of the time we have the children actually tell why. It's not just, oh, we're going to dress up, but they have to have a reason why. We've had Mad Scientist Day, which is a day where we dress up as mad scientists. And all day long, we do science. I mean, we science all day. We are exhausted at the end of the day. We used to always do it on my birthday. And then I decided, no, I'm just too tired at the end of the day. So we've moved it to the spring. So that's a lot easier. But they come dressed up. We do probably 7 to 8 experiments during the day. Parents come in and help with the volunteering. They help us get everything set up. And it's, you know, they have the little journals. They write everything in. And every year while we're walking around the school, we'll be all in our science outfits. And you'll see the middle schoolers and high schoolers, oh, I remember that in second grade. So I know it's something they remember. And it's, I've had parents tell me that their daughter started liking science because of Mad Scientist Day. So it really instills the reason to learn. And it's okay to like science. It's okay to do fun things and learn from them. And I love science and I love math because they're like puzzles to me where you have to figure them out. And that's why I try to make it for my kids where it's like, okay, we're going to figure this out. This isn't supposed to be hard. We're going to figure it out. There's an answer to this and we're just going to figure it out. We also have contraction surgery day where we all dress up like doctors, and we have our patients, which are two words, like was not. And we have our Band-Aids and we wear masks and little shower caps and gloves. And we have our clipboards with our doctor's notes and everything, our patient's names. And they have to write down the patient's name was not, and it was an accident. So you have to cut out the O and put one Band-Aid, which is the apostrophe, wasn't. And so you put the patient's recovery over here. And they love doing that. One that I did last year was called Camp Read a Lot, which I copied for that from my Instagram friend over here. And it was so fun because they came in the morning and I had all their desks moved all the way around the classroom and had the plastic tablecloths covering them. So each desk was a tent, and we made little s'more packets for them. It was just Teddy Grahams, chocolate chips, and marshmallows. But that was their little treat. And they read all day under their desk with their flashlights. And it was called Camp Read a Lot. That was a lot of fun. I can't wait to do that again this year. We have a class pet. Each year it's different. And this year our class pet is Milky Way. He's a monkey who's an astronaut because it goes with my theme. And I have I actually wrote the book this year that goes with them. I have a book that they have to take home and
That's
read
fantastic.
To their family. So I wrote a little Milky Way book for them to read to their family. And they take pictures of what Milky Way does with them all weekend long. And then they come share it with the class, and whatever they get to sign up for what week they want Milky Way. And the week they sign up, they're the student of the week. And I've had parents tell me this one too, like when their siblings in my class their sibling gets to bring home the class pet, like, oh, I remember when I brought home Kobe the camel and stuff like that, because every year it changes. another fun thing we do is March Book Madness, since, you know, because there's March Madness basketball.
Yes.
So we do March Book Madness, and I have the front board of in the hallway. It's just like a basketball, big old basketball court thingy, and we do brackets. And so each child brings in their favorite book, and we put two books against two books. Those are the brackets, and then they all vote on their favorite. And each time it gets harder because, like, the first time they just vote on their favorite book. The next time it's like, okay, they have to vote on their favorite book, but they have to say why it's their favorite. The next time, they go through it. It has to be, well, the problem in this book was, and so they're getting deeper and deeper as they go. And then
that's great.
By the end, we have our favorite book right smack in the middle, and that wins our March Madness. So that's a lot of fun, too, because we do basketball stuff all in the classroom. Let's see. We do Christmas Around the World in December, and that way we get to talk about other countries and how they celebrate Christmas and do the fun activities with that. At the end of the year, we do something called ABC Countdown. So we count 26 days back to where A would be from the last day of school.
Right.
So each day is a different letter. That's where we did our camp read a lot, was the C day.
Uh-huh.
And each day, it's something simple like A. I think last year it was right when we finished achievement test. So A was awesome for AA, bubbles. So they had finished doing all those bubbles and all those testing. And so we had bubbles for them to blow, even though it would have been easier for bubbles to be with B, but we had something better for B. So we switched. That's where the team comes in around. We talk about, let's do this on this day, and we can change the letters around to mix and match whatever we want it to match for the year that's coming up. So those are some of my big ideas where we really change up a lot.
Yeah.
Now, and we also, in second grade, we do themes in reading. Like, we choose literature in our reading groups to do. We still do the curriculum that the school has for us, but then I kind of add extra. Like, in October, we work on, like, how many seeds in a pumpkin. There's a lady who writes a book about that, which it's so good because it talks about how they group the seeds and count the seeds. And then we do the same thing when the book is done. In November, we read a book about Thank You, Sarah. She's the woman who saved Thanksgiving, which it was a true story. In December, we do the three trees. We'll do that one. In like February, we always talk about teeth in February. So we'll redo the book, What If You Had Animal Teeth? And you can do the funnest things with chatter picks and the kids making their animal teeth, where they can make their crazy teeth and then they can read what they write and their little mouth moving on chatter picks. So, I mean, that's kind of how we do reading. And I've noticed, because we've been doing that for maybe 3 or 4 years here lately, and I notice how more engaged the kids get because they really focus on it. It's almost like when I first started teaching, it was called whole group or whole group learning, something where everything centered around one theme and everything kind of went that way. It's not exactly like that, but it is kind of, because we're talking about one thing and we kind of use it everywhere with math and in try to make science go along with what we're reading too. So those are some of the fun things.
Those are excellent. So what about some fun incentives for behavior? Do you have any of those you can share with us?
Okay, I have a few. We have fill the bucket thing, and I have little pom-poms in here. And they're really space balls because we're in outer space.
Of course.
So and we also use Dojo. So every time I have my Dojo up in the morning, and they get to get space balls for every Dojo point they have because we start new every day. And then we have like on Fridays, it's treasure box and they can buy some of the treasure box. They also can use, like, if they lose something and have to get it out of Lost in Space, they can use their pom poms to pay for it. Trying to teach a little bit of responsibility here.
Yes.
Yeah. And like, there's certain things where they can just pay me with it. Sometimes if I have pretzels or goldfish at the front of the classroom and it's a really rough week, I'm like, okay, while you're doing your work, you can buy one goldfish for 10 pom-poms, and they actually will buy it for that much. But it gives them something to do. And I also like the fact, I'm shocked at how they don't understand how stores and checking out works. So I think it's a good teaching tool, because I'll be shocked when they'll come and hand me the pom-poms and I'm like, well, what did you buy? And they're like, well, I haven't bought anything yet. I said, but you go to a store and you pick out what you want and you take that to the register and then you pay. Oh, okay. So it's teaching a lot of life skills along with that. So that's my main incentive to the year. But as the seasons come, I change it. Like in November, I'd color the pasta noodles, and they can get, we call it wampum because we learn about wampum in our with our Native Americans. And they can, every time they get a space ball, they can also get a wampum. And when they get 12, it'll turn into a necklace, but it also has to be in a pattern that I've picked, like either an AAB or ABC. And then the very last one, I let them pick their own pattern. So we do that. And they made lots of wampum necklaces. And then December, we do everything with ornaments. Each team in the classroom is a different color. And when they do something they're supposed to, or their team wins, they go put an ornament on the tree. And when they have 15 of their color on the tree, that means they get to spin, which is an idea I got from Katie. She's got that spinning wheel. So they click on it and they spin, and they can earn things like a candy cane. They love to do Elf Yourself. You know, you can buy the Elf Yourself app on an iPad, and they can earn that. They can earn having lights on their desk, things like that. In January, we just wad up paper for snowballs, and we have snowball fights at the end of the day. The two teams that have the most snowballs at the end of the day get to fight each other. So we do that. And when it gets to like springtime, it's pretty much just free for all. We have to just survive. So we do a lot of jelly beans and bribing with candy. But those are a few of my incentives. So.
That is fantastic. What about using what you already have? I love hearing your ideas, because these are things that are, a lot of these are around the classroom, or you're interusing different, right, you know, themes and different materials. What about, do you have any tips for using what you have for those teachers who are like, okay, I have a lot of stuff. How can I use this in a creative way?
With our verse this week, I actually made puppets to go with the verse. And so I had printed out the verse. I printed out the puppets. They had to cut their puppets out, put them on sticks, and they take turns, because it's a passage this time. So they take turns saying the verse with the puppets to their buddy, and they don't realize it, but they're learning it when they're reading it and saying it and listening to it. So that's a really easy thing to do, because all you have to do is print it. I love to buy clip art. I have a problem. If I see teachers pay teachers in clip art, I get it. But I figure it's what, $5, and I can use it over and over and over. So I go ahead and spin it, because it's probably also a problem that I need to take care of. But I just love cute. And if it's not cute, then I don't want to do it. So I have to make it cute so the kids will enjoy it. And so I just get it printed, and it's so easy. It's just like a shepherd, a sheep, and you just print it and they have it and they act it out. They had a lot of fun doing that one. We also did a fun activity, the whole second grade did. We actually got this idea from a third grade teacher, where we took a worksheet, and because they had to do the worksheet that day. So we took the phonics and the math, and we cut it up, and we decided which ones we wanted them to do, and we put them in bags around the room, and they would have to go to a different bag, solve it, and then they would bring it to you, and if they got it correct, they would get some kind of treat. So they went around the room, and I remember hearing my kids like, this is so fun, and it's like, this is your worksheet. But they didn't realize that, because it was different. And I also, 2 years ago at a workshop, I can't remember the lady's name, but she had the best idea, where you put the worksheet, and we do this a lot too. We put the worksheets on the desk, and they have to stand, and it's like switch. So you solve this problem, now switch. Solve this problem, switch. Solve this problem. So they do every problem on the worksheet, but it's a game. And then, you know, you take one when you're done from each team and say, oh, they got this one, got them all right. So this team gets a point. So that's something fun to do. Mine love to do scavenger hunt with spelling words. I just put them around. I put the words around the classroom. The beginning, like on Monday, they would be around the classroom, and they just have to go around and write them down. Well, they're writing their spelling words, but it's kind of fun. The next day, I scrambled the words, so I have to print a different scrambled one and put them around the room, and then they have to go around and figure out, which word is that, and then they have to write them down. And then they also, when I vocab week, I switch it, and I put the definitions around the room, and they have to go around and do them around the room. And we also always make index cards of our spelling words the first week, and we have vocab the next. So the next week, we make our vocab, our definitions, and we put them together, and they love to play match. You know, it's a simple game, index cards. They've written everything. I didn't have to do anything. So they just love to play match, to match it. What's that called? Concentration, I think. where they match it up. Let's see. We during October all brought in pumpkins, and we used our pumpkins as whiteboards. So we would write on our pumpkins, read to our pumpkins. I let them bring stuffies in for certain things too, and they read to their stuffy. Just because I want them to read like they're talking to someone, so it's really good practice for them.
Sure.
And they actually will do it if there's something sitting right there instead of just like, okay, read this story. They don't want to do
that. Isn't that amazing how that works?
I know. And then we have dojo at our school, and I assign where they have to read like just a certain passage out of their reading book on dojo, and it amazes me. I love going through and listening to me. It amazes me the expression they have when they think it's just them and the computer. And I'm like, oh, that's so sweet.
It can be done.
I love listening to you read. And then when you have them like in a group and you have them read, they're just like real quiet and don't want to do this. It's just, but you know what they're capable of. It's just some of them have not gotten over that fear out of being in front of people. I do like to also, when they finish something, any type of writing, I like, okay, when you finish, you can stand up and share, because I want them to get used to talking to people. And it's like at the beginning, they were kind of like, okay. And then when one person would do it, then they would all start, because it doesn't matter what you wrote. It's just, I want you to share. And when it's your writing, it doesn't matter what you say. It's your writing, and that's what you think. So let me see. Those are a few of my ideas. Did I give you enough little tips there?
That's excellent. Yes. These are so fun. They're fantastic. And I love that they can be easily adapted to any age group. You know, I was speaking at a conference recently, and I was giving away those buzzers to use in your classroom. And I had a whole group of secondary teachers fighting like crazy to win those buzzers for their classroom. And one of the teachers blurted out, "Older kids love the same things. They just don't show it." And I thought that is so true. They think it's pretty cool to push the buzzer, but they're just not going to show it the same way. So having fun is, when you're learning, that's ageless, that's timeless. Before we wrap up this episode, let's talk about investment and return on that investment. So I'm guessing that many of our listeners, they're listening to you talk about these amazing, incredible ideas, and they're wondering how on earth you have time to prepare all that, to pay for it, to clean it up, to store it, and all those other similar questions that you know educators think about. So talk to us about how you manage that. I mean, do you have your own staff, or what should we know? Like, talk to us about the returns also on that investment, because you're pouring into this, but there have to be benefits. So what benefits do you see as you intentionally work to make learning fun? So we have two parts here, the prep and the benefits.
Okay. Well, I do have a great team. My second grade team is amazing. And we do a lot of stuff together. And that helps a lot, when especially the planning part of it and the talking through part of it. I mean, there's so many things I couldn't do without them. So we all do the same. We all do the same thing in our own way. It's not like we're all the exact same teacher, but our team is amazing. Prep is sometimes consuming, but normally, like some of these things that I've told you, I've done them year after year after year. The first year is pretty much awful, but you think, okay, because we always, after we do an activity, we think, okay, this worked, this didn't, let's change this year, and we always stick it in our Google Drive, so it'll be there for us next year. So that part is kind of hard, but you just build it and you make it better. See, my boys are grown. School is my life. And I know that's not how it is for other people. I know everybody has different seasons. So on the weekends, I love getting ready for school, you know, prepping stuff. I love to create stuff. I look at Teachers Pay Teachers, but most of them don't fit what I need. So I just get ideas from there and I make my own things for my classroom. It's not that difficult to do. The school runs everything off. The prep part, that's probably the most tedious. Now, as far as supplies and things, we use Sign Up Genius quite a bit with our parents, because now we've got our way we do our things through the year. So we know during the month of January, we're going to need this. March, we're going to need this. So we try to put up a Sign Up Genius, so we tell the parents, hey, these are the supplies we're going to need. We send out a Sign Up Genius, and we have amazing parents too. We get everything that we could possibly need. And then parents, oh, I got the sign up and everything's gone. What else can I do? And so you can always add stuff to there. So we just have an amazing family here at WCA. So that I rarely buy anything myself unless it's clip art.
I think you mentioned that.
Yeah. But our parents pretty much take care of it. Our school helps us out with that too. As far as storing it, most of my stuff that you need is going to be taken home with the child anyway. It's all stored pretty much on Google Drive. So it's not a lot of storage. And the stuff, you know, things like craft sticks, things like that, you have around anyway. So that's not too much of a problem. Now, the benefit is, like I said, well, like you referred to at the beginning, my boys hated school. I don't want to cry. They hated coming to school. And I didn't understand that because I grew up loving school. My parents were educators. And it was just harder for them. Because, well, one of my boys has learning disabilities. And so until we figured that out, it was just hard. And so I don't want any second grader in my class ever to dread coming to school. I want this to be the happiest place it could ever be. I mean, I have them for 180 days, for how many hours, more than their parents do during the school year. And I want them to go home and say, hey, we did this today. Hey, we learned that today. My goal is that they are doing their best. Not everybody's going to be A's and B's. My boys, I was happy we passed. My goal is that they are doing their best. That's what God wants from us. He doesn't want us to make A's and B's unless that's what we're capable of. He wants us to do our best. And my goal as a Christian teacher is to make sure that I'm doing everything I possibly can to make sure that my class is having success. And when you hear them say, oh, this is so much fun, or when they graduate from high school and say, Miss Thorpe, I loved your class, those are the benefits. So sorry.
No, that's excellent. No, those lifelong learners and just seeing the joy on their faces and they keep coming back for more, that anticipation to walk into school and not the dread of what am I going to have to do today. And it's obvious you are making that difference. And, you know, I have thoroughly enjoyed what you shared. I'm guessing there are other listeners who would like to join me in just hanging out in your classroom for a few months, if you wouldn't mind. But seriously, though, Leanne, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for the very specific ideas of how we can make learning fun, enjoy it ourselves. It's obvious you enjoy it. And I really, really appreciate you sharing your joy and your ideas with us today.
My team will come join us next time if you ever want us.
Sounds like a deal. That sounds great. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you were challenged and encouraged as I was. Remember to go to teachereditionpodcast.com to submit questions for upcoming episodes. Of course, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media. Now it's time to get back to your day, but it's not just any day. Every day in the classroom is your day to impact and inspire through God's power and through His grace working in you. So go do what God has called you to do.